The greatest blessing God has given us is His Son. So this evening, I ask you a question. How do you feel about the gift that God has given us in His Son? How important is Christ to you? How important is He to me? I hope we have that question answered in our hearts. I think you probably do, or you wouldn't be here this evening. But I want us to look at what that gift of God is to us through His Son. Turn with me to Matthew, the 27th chapter. We're going to be reading a lot this evening. We've come through a season where everyone's been very mindful of the birth of Christ. And that was a good thing. Otherwise, we couldn't come to this point in Scripture, could we? But when we think about how much the birth of Christ is mentioned in the Bible, it's very minuscule, really. It's not that it wasn't important. It wasn't of value. But let's think about how much and how many times throughout Scripture the death of Christ is talked about. Isn't that the real reason we should celebrate Christ? Isn't that the reason that we, as His children, should love Him with all of our hearts? So my question this evening, what does Christ mean to you? In the 27th chapter, we're going to begin in verse 24. But if you recall, previous of this, Christ is before Pilate. He's being questioned, ridiculed. The crowd is chanting for Barabbas to be released and to crucify the Son of God. We pick up reading in verse 24. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, remember Pilate was trying to talk him out of this crucifixion of Christ, because he saw no reason for it. So we read, so when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, His blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. Well, that battalion was 600 men. Sometimes I think we don't recognize the number of people involved in this crucifixion of Christ. But here, a battalion, 600 men that he's taken before. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. Verse 35. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priest with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." That's Matthew's account. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 15. Again, remember the background before we begin reading in verse 16. Previous to verse 16, in 14, Peter's denied Christ. And in 15, Jesus is delivered to Pilate. And Pilate again is trying to convince them to release him, but they want Barabbas. So in verse 15, "So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him." Verse 21. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was about the third hour when they crucified him. An inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Now why did I read both those accounts? Well, we could read Luke and John and get a very similar picture, the facts being the same. But what I want us to think about tonight, what has Christ done for us, for you and me? We read these passages, and yes, we know being crucified is a horrible death, a brutal death. But do we really know what that was? What he really went through for us? Yes, he was mocked. He was spit on. He was beaten. But then he was crucified. Some years ago, I ran across this article. I believe it came through Madeline's dad, John. It's entitled, "They Crucified Him." And it's written by someone in the medical field, name not given here. But it was an article written and printed in the American Medical Association Journal in 1986. In this article, it describes, from a medical point of view, what our Christ went through. If you bear with me, I'll read it. The cross is placed on the ground, and the exhausted man is thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. An expert Roman soldier feels for the depression at the front of the wrist. He drives a heavy, square-tapered iron nail about 3/8 inches in diameter through the wrist. The soldier then moves to the other side and repeats the action. Being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some movement. The cross is then lifted into place. The left foot is depressed backwards against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees flexed. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in the wrist, excruciating fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms. The nails in the wrist are pulling pressure on the median nerves as he pushes himself upward to avoid this pain. He places the full weight of the nail through his feet. Again, he feels the searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. As the arms fatigue, his muscles cramp, knotting them with throbbing pain. With these cramps, he cannot push himself upward to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but not exhaled. He fights to raise himself in order to get even one small breath. Every now and then he is able to push himself upward to exhale, and bring in oxygen. Hours of limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-wrenching cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain as tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against rough timber. All of these he must endure. As if this is not enough, the victim feels the pain deep in his chest. The pericardium, the membranous sac enclosing the heart, begins to fill with serum and pressure is put on the heart. The end is near, and the loss of tissue fluids has reached a critical level. The heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The searing lungs are working tirelessly to bring in oxygen. The victim can take no more as he feels the chill of death in the body. Death does come, and all of this the Bible records with the simple words, "And they crucified him." Again, I ask you, what does Jesus mean to you? This is what he means, what you mean to him. That he went through this for you and I. Yes, other men have been crucified in time. They were criminals. Christ had no sin in his life. He did not have to do this. He did not have to go through this. But he did. For you and I. So that we can live with him in eternity. So what does Jesus mean to you? You mean everything to him.
this evening if you need anything in the way of baptism so that you can enjoy the blessings that we know as Christians, that you can take advantage of this sacrifice that we read about so that you have hope of eternal life. If we can help you get to that point in your life, please come. If you have other needs, don't hesitate to let us know. As Mike leads us in invitation.